Anyway, but first, it's my pleasure to welcome to the program Brad Zahn. Brad and I know each other for a long time. He was a small business owner. I had a hardware store in Urbandale back when I first met you. Yep. And he was a state senator. He's also now the regional administrator for the Great Plains region of the Small Business Administration. And he's acting director for the SBA for the Great Lakes region. And like me, you were dumb enough to run for Congress.
Yes, I did. It was a blessing I didn't get elected.
And Brad's a Republican, but that doesn't mean he's necessarily a bad guy, okay?
You and I have gotten along, done a lot of great things together. I always remember meeting you when I had my hardware store.
Yeah.
And at that time, you had an organization to promote small family-owned businesses.
Yeah. Well, that was one of our 1,000 Friends of Iowa.
Yes. Yep.
Responsible land use, you know, building in the urban core.
Yeah. That's what we tried to
protecting
do
when farmland.
I was mayor.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to grow things for the older areas that were struggling and build within.
And now you're doing kind of comparable work through the SBA, promoting small businesses with a set of grants and loans, I believe?
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's kind of funny how the circle of life works. I was 23, had a dream to own a hardware store. The store was going out of business. No bank would even really talk to me. So I went through the Drake Small Business Development Center to help me, assist me, which now is our small business development centers, that helped me with all the paperwork to qualify for an SBA guaranteed loan. And honestly, if it wasn't for the SBA, I wouldn't have had that hardware store.
Okay. So now you're kind of payback. You're helping other people who also might be in your same situation. But what are we looking at specifically? I mean, you said that there's obviously any kind of business could fall under the SBA's purview, but a lot of stuff that you're doing is relevant to rural communities and even agricultural work, correct?
That is correct. President Trump has made an initiative to get into the rural parts of the United States, which are struggling. Doesn't matter what state I am in, there's struggles everywhere in rural parts of America. So what they've done is there's a new program, which I'm very thankful because I reached out to you to talk about. And it's a food production loan that we have. Typically, the loans that we do at the Small Business Administration, we guarantee, or should I say the taxpayers guarantee, 60%. We've gotten really aggressive with this loan because, and I'll talk about the challenges in the food production industry, at 90%. So bankers are more likely to be, you know, would be interested in these kind of loans just because we've got such a high guarantee. But what we see going on, well, certainly in the Midwest and pretty much everywhere, obviously grocery prices are higher right now. And I give an example, there is a big meat production plant in Nebraska that is shutting down. It's owned by Tyson. And what they're shutting down, it's a population of 10,000 people, and 4,200 people are going to lose their jobs.
We've talked about this on this program before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say this because I tell it the way it is. The big four meat producers out there, I personally don't think they play fair.
We agree. Tyson is certainly one of them. Smithland.
Yeah.
Owned by China.
Well,
Smithfield.
Yep. And I certainly recognize that. So what we're doing is we've just completed, I still have the state of Kansas to do, what we call a meat production roundtable. So we're getting the smaller meat packers, so to speak, and this includes poultry as well, around a table to see what the challenges are. And we're trying to, with this loan, trying to ask them to consider expanding so there's more competition in the market. You know, with the SBA, we have a limit of 500 employees. So that's what we define a small business, 500 or less.
As a sole proprietor, that's hilarious. But anyway, actually,
well,
there's three
my hardware store, we had three employees.
Yeah, yeah, right. 500 is still small.
But, you know,
crazy. Yeah.
98% of businesses out there are small businesses. They're the people that are that really take the risk to own businesses. So what we're doing with this program is this one big component of this is we've got all these deserts throughout the United States in regards to groceries.
And food deserts.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Correct. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to This loan that we're talking about includes grocery stores or anyone that is in the line of food production, with the exception of restaurants. So it could be anyone that produces any kind of food that's consumed, that they would qualify for this loan. And I've got all, like I said to you earlier, got all the different.
So does groups. It help farmers as well as those adding value to agricultural products?
Well, we think that this, you know, if we get more competition out there, that the producers, which are the farmers or the livestock producers, that hopefully they'll be able to, you know, be able to capture more of what it costs to produce that calf, you know, that's as it's mm-hmm. born until it's produced, or the chicken or whatever that is, or turkey. So it is our intention to get more competition out there, to lower food costs, and give the producers a better margin.
Now, you said earlier that rural communities are struggling. What's behind that?
Well, I think, you know, you've got the population centers, and I can only speak as a former state senator, in the challenges that we saw in the rural parts of Iowa, is you've got everyone, it seems like, are moving to the more populated areas. What are the challenges? You know, I think young people want to be closer to a metropolitan. You know, we've got a challenge in agriculture because so many family farms are owned by older people that don't have younger people that are interested in taking that over. Not to mention how much it costs, you know, for the equipment and for the ground. And it's hard for a young farmer to start up, you know, in agriculture. I know there's some incentive programs that are out there that the state offered. I'm sure there's probably some national ones. I know the USDA has got grants, where at the SBA, we don't have grants. We have just loans is what we do. And I work with the USDA on a probably weekly basis. In fact, that's who, when we did the meat packing or meat production tours that we did with the USDA. You know, I mean, internet, I mean, we you know, it's the kind of the things we've always talked about down at the Capitol.
I mean, broadband availability,
right,
in rural
you
communities.
You know, to make sure that they have the services that they need, and I think that that is being improved. But, you know, there's several reasons why I think rural parts of
in some parts of the country, we see more and more farm ownership by foreign companies, or foreign individuals, more and more farm ownership by very, very wealthy Americans, billionaires, not just Democrat. It's pretty bipartisan. Bill Gates is an example. He owns what? A quarter of a million acres of American farmland.
Yeah, and I really have a problem with foreign ownership. But
foreign, to me, that's even more problematic.
Right.
With billionaires buying up farmland being a close second. But isn't that part of the problem? I mean, they're driving up the cost of farmland. Like you mentioned that young people have a hard time getting into the industry because of the cost of land, but also the cost of insurance, the cost of equipment.
Right, I agree with all
and,
that.
And now the Iran war is driving up the cost of fertilizer, the cost of oil.
Do you
agree with that?
No, there's no doubt. I am hopeful that, obviously, this is a tough time right now. I'm hopeful that the President Trump is going to hopefully end that conflict that's going on in Iran. There's no doubt that it did have an impact on our oil and fertilizer prices.
But did he need to start the war?
I'm not here to talk about that. I'm a small business guy.
But it does impact.
To answer your question, yeah. I think if there's a nuclear threat, I think that's what he wanted to solve. And I'm not involved in the day-to-day, but, I mean, I support the president, obviously.
For me, the nuclear threat was addressed by the treaty, signed by, you know, back when Obama was president and canceled by Trump. But that is another conversation.
Yeah, I get that.
But it seems to me like there are a lot of challenges facing rural communities. And certainly, I guess for some, it's the allure of being in the big city where there's so many exciting things happening culturally. But, I mean, there's also a real strong allure for being in a small town or being in a rural place where, last night, I can't tell you how many times I was woken up by motorcycles revving their engines. And that was followed by sirens, fire engines. Mm-hmm. And that was followed by a helicopter going overhead to Methodist Hospital.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to live out in the country?
Well, listen.
it seems like there's poles both ways.
I love being in the country. I was raised in the country. I just moved from Urbandale out to now what's called West Des Moines, because they've annexed that. Got 10 acres. It's quiet out there. There's no doubt about that. But you know, when I was mayor of Urbandale, all of us mayors got together, and what our mission was is to try to come up with attractions that would bring younger people to the Des Moines area. Mm-hmm. I mean, and unfortunately, what happens is
So you're part of the problem.
Well, I would say, you know, I think we've got some great things going on in the Des Moines metropolitan area.
Sure,
but
we do, yes.
But I certainly understand that the unintended consequence on what we tried to accomplish.
So you got a lot of young producers. I think young people who want to go into production agriculture, but in terms of producing for the local market, I mean, there's been tremendous growth among direct market production.
I would agree with that.
And a lot of it is organic based. Uh-huh. It's not just vegetables. It's meats as well. It's dairy. It's I knew one farmer raising crickets.
Oh, wow.
Not that interested personally, but still, A plus for innovation. Right now we have an agricultural system set up to really benefit traditional, conventional agriculture, corn production, bean production, large-scale livestock production. Is there any way that the SBA could cooperate with the USDA on a farm bill that might begin to incentivize more of that kind of direct marketing operations?
We do have programs in some instances that we would be able to help out with, obviously the capital that's needed that. But the USDA is really the person that is in charge. Obviously, they're part of the agriculture segment of our government. And I know they've got some very aggressive programs for young farmers, startup farmers. I can't speak about that. I would suggest that you talk to someone from USDA.
Well, we did. We talked about one program recently on this program that was canceled by the USDA, and it was targeted for small operations, and there were at least two here in Iowa, I believe, that were affected by it.
Okay.
And nationwide.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, we'll get on that, will you?
Yeah. I'll talk to my colleague at the USDA about that, because I'm not sure.
Brooke Rollins?
No. Mike Sexton.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, another
one. In charge of rural affairs.
So now we know
USDA.
Where former Republican Iowa senators go.
Well, like, I don't know about, obviously.
Two of you,
we
at
can
least.
Talk about, how I got this position, but, obviously I was a big supporter of President Trump, and I know him very well, and I lost my election, and then I got a call from the transition team.
Yeah.
Offered me a couple different positions, and this is the one that was the best fit for me. Plus, I get to live in Iowa.
Good. Now, so is the SBA doing, well, how is it different under the Trump administration than it was under Biden or Trump 1 or Obama? What's changed?
The only changes of, I can just tell you, we're running it like a business, which I'm excited about because it should be run like a business.
But not all government should be run like a business.
I think all government should be run like a business from an efficiency standpoint.
Well, let's have that's another conversation we should have.
Okay.
But if we start getting to that one, this will be a long conversation.
We tried to do that as best we could down at the Iowa Capitol. And so I just, what kind of changes? First of all, I would say that, I had to make a lot of personnel changes. There was a lot of people that got offered, a severance, so to speak. Most 99% of them took that because maybe they didn't agree with President Trump.
How much of the workforce changed under Trump's?
I can only speak for the region that I've been, been representing for the last year and a half. I've got a new district director in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Des Moines.
And what about the kind of the lower level staff that are doing the day to day work
Pretty much in the region that I represent, they're pretty much all there.
Okay.
That's good. Des Moines, we really didn't lose anybody other than the district director. Okay. So we've got a lot of great people, and I just gave a speech not too long ago. I feel terrible for people that serve our public through a governmental agency, because everybody that I've been exposed to in the state of Iowa and all the other three states, they are very passionate on helping small businesses that want to start up or expand. And so I just, kudos to everyone out there. And I think they get a bad rap in regards to the way they're treated. I say that both federally and the state of
Iowa. But overall, there has not been a lot of changes in SBA operations?
Our programs have changed a little bit. Really, I think that what they've done has been updated to reflect more what the times we're going through right now. But for the most part, we got the 7A loans, the 504 loans. They're basically the same.
Okay. And you're certainly aware of polls, and polls are not very favorable for President Trump right now. Is that going to impact your ability to reach people who might benefit from some of the loans?
No. I say no, because we're in the SBA. We don't care what the color of your skin is, religion, sexual orientation. We have requirement.
So you're a DEI organization.
One requirement. You have to have a decent credit score.
Okay.
So it hasn't affected that.
What you just said was interesting to me, because, there has been the program that got purged by the USDA, the small farmer operation, it was intentionally targeted to underserved constituency groups, women, minorities, and it was kind of assumed that was the reason it was targeted, was because
set the record straight. Women's resource centers are still healthy. Okay. Nothing changed there. What was the other one you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Minorities.
Minorities. There was a change. You wouldn't get special programming or special treatment if you're a minority. And it was frustrating for myself as someone that just came from manufacturing in Ankeny, where it should be based on the quality of the product and the price of the product.
Mm. Okay. So Trump's popularity is not going to be a problem.
Well, we're a nonpartisan.
Right.
I haven't seen it. In fact, I've seen our loan volume go up.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Kind of as an aside. Yes. Are you a Tucker Carlson fan?
No.
If I'd asked you that 2 weeks ago, what would you have said?
No. I don't really listen to that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to listen to things that are more positive, when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
But I don't get involved in that stuff. I heard the controversy or whatever it is, but no.
So you're really not involved in politics anymore. You're involved in policy.
Yes, correct.
You don't have to run for office. You don't have to raise any money.
Thank you, God. Like I said, I don't miss it. I miss the people. I don't miss the grind.
You thank your opponent for beating you last
time. I did.
Yeah, really?
I did. I ran into Matt Blake, and I put my hand on his shoulder and said, thank you for beating me. I miss the people, but I don't miss the grind.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Brad, good having you on the program.
Yes.
Folks, we've been talking with Brad Zahn, the regional director of the Great Plains region of the Small Business Administration. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if people want to contact you about some of the loan programs, what do they do?
Yeah, well, I answer all my own emails. I could give you the email if it's helpful.
Sure.
It's Bradley. I know my mom only called me that, but
Bradley.
It's Bradley. Bradley.zaun@sba.gov.
Very formal, Bradley.
My mom only called me that. When I got that email address, I wasn't real happy. So,
hey, Brad, thanks for joining us.